Good afternoon, and welcome to the Chronicle on Riot Radio. I'm Grace Heisinga.
And I'm Tammy Raycraft. We're your hosts for today. This is our final show of the year, and we have a great selection of stories to share.
Durham College won the Entrepreneurial Challenge at Enactus Regionals 2 weeks ago. Afaf Ghazi has exclusive interviews with some of the participants.
Durham Region is trying to add a hospital in Whitby. Navraj Sundar spoke to the mayor of Whitby to find out why and when it will be built.
In the world of sports, Ryan Vieira brings the fans' perspective to the Oshawa Generals' playoff push and future expectations.
And in arts, the annual Maple Syrup Festival took place this past weekend in Oshawa. Madison Duchin has the sweet story. But first, here's Navraj Sundar with the news.
Hello, welcome to news. I'm Navraj Sundar. If you walk through the pit this week, you've likely seen campaign signs and people campaigning. The Durham College Student Association is holding its annual election. Students walking past the pit talk to candidates and ask questions about the election and how they can vote. With more on this, here's Sophia Abbasi.
DCSA election campaigns are taking place with students and candidates interacting with one another in the pit. However, the nomination period was extended due to many vacant positions. The last nomination window closed on Tuesday at 1 p.m. and the campaign began last Thursday. Charles Wilson says DCSA is trying to alert the campus community about the election.
So this year, if you look at the website, it's well developed. We sent 4 emails out to DC students about this. We have sent a community guide out to over 100 administrators, instructors, to talk about how do you talk about elections with students. What we haven't done is we haven't gone class to classes because we don't have the resources to do that.
Wilson says it's important for students to have a voice on the board of directors, so they should vote for who they feel best represents them. Here's what a couple of candidates had to say about the election and why they are running.
I'm in the pit today because I want to meet my fellow colleagues and raise awareness, first of all, that the DCSA exists, and that includes by running an active campaign society. So when I'm out campaigning, asking people what faculty they're in, I am also really excited to know that if they are in my faculty, not only is there this election, but there are also leadership opportunities that I'm trying to launch within the faculty. And I think that initiative is what someone sitting on the DCSA board, that leadership is really needed.
I like helping people. And I have extra time. So I want to help other students. I want to make a difference. As a student, I can do little things for in my class, with my classmates. I can help them with certain things. But I want to do more. Mm-hmm. So this governor position will help me to expand that to more people. Instead of just a few here or there, I can do more for a lot of more.
Both candidates encourage students to use their right and vote on March 28th through March 30th. The executive chair and CEO position has been acclaimed by Megha Bent, who currently holds this position. Meanwhile, the only faculty without any nominations is the Faculty of Media, Art and Design. In Oshawa, reporting for The Chronicle, I'm Sophia Abbasi.
You may have seen a police presence on campus when you arrived this morning. Tammy Raycraft was there and brings us the report.
This morning, between 9 and 9:30, there was a police presence here on campus at Durham College. The police officers, as well as campus security, were out front of the Gordon Willey building, along with buses that were stopped and no longer running. Police officers questioned a man who appeared angry and distraught. He was talking in a raised voice, stating that he paid $5 to ride the bus. The bus driver, along with campus security and Durham Regional Police officers, declined to comment. The DRPS officer stated that there was no danger to those on campus. In Oshawa, reporting for The Chronicle, I'm Tammy Raycraft.
Plans to build a hospital in Whitby remain on hold in light of yesterday's provincial budget. Lake Ridge Health was hoping to receive a $3 million grant to start the planning process, but that didn't happen. Whitby Mayor Elizabeth Roy says she's extremely disappointed and calls the omission completely unacceptable. I looked into the importance of a new hospital in the area.
I wouldn't just say that Whitby needs another hospital. I would say that Durham Region needs another hospital. Our population growth is in need for healthcare services. The services that would be provided through this new facility would potentially include critical care, and we don't have critical care within the region of Durham. Patients have to go to Toronto to have those services.
Going to be a hospital right next door to you. We have to expect that, right? So there's always going to be a bit of travel. But I think that our hospitals, there's so many people moving into the area that our hospitals are just overwhelmed now.
If the province of Ontario does not support the planning grant, the future of a hospital within Whitby could be for naught. It will not happen.
Durham College's Enactus team scored a big win at the Enactus Regionals Exposition earlier this month. The student-led team presented the Founders Drive podcast, a podcast where students share the stories of young entrepreneurs. Enactus DC is part of Fast Start, the college's extracurricular program designed to help entrepreneurial students develop and launch their own business. Afaf Ghazi spoke to some of the journalism students on the winning team.
It felt so amazing to know that this project that we had been working on, that we knew was something so big, made other people feel the same way, that they knew it was big too, and that it could really have an impact.
Even though she knew that this was what?
As an entrepreneur, it's been really incredible to hear other people's stories because I'm always talking to entrepreneurs. So at the end, I'm like, I'm also starting my own business. And they give me like little tips and tricks.
Like, it was just so emotional because these are three young women, I think they were 18, now have the chance to go to school and start a business.
Try to do something else and get their space. It's such an interesting place. It's so awkward.
Hey, let's...
Small business owners from marginalized communities had a chance to showcase their products on campus last week. The BIPOC Small Business Showcase was organized by events management students. As Brennan Clark reports, many companies had a focus on helping people.
Chest Beard Oil is run by Kwabe Amp. It helps people with beard care and grooming.
And the purpose of it is to make sure that when men do grow a beard, they take care of it in a way that's aesthetically pleasing.
Amp says his brand offers many products from beard oils to face and beard wash. GN Fashion Accessories sells Afrocentric items including jewelry, artwork, and African fashion.
So we strongly believe that representation matters, and that's why we do events like this, because we think it's very important, you know, to show and display the culture of Africa.
Nurse Next Door provides home care services for senior citizens.
We provide any home care services, so that could be from anything, from medicine, plans, companionship, transportation.
In Oshawa, reporting for The Chronicle, I am Brandon Clark.
Durham College recently reached its goal of raising $10 million for its Building for Skills campaign. The funds are dedicated to supporting teaching and learning in the trades. The Whitby campus is looking at doing many things for students with that money. Part of it was already used for the Ontario Power Generation Center of Skills, Trades, and Technology. With more on this, here's Wesley Braid.
The Building for Skills campaign, which started in 2020, was launched with a goal to support faculty and students and to support the expansion on the campus. The Ontario Power Generation Center for Skilled Trades and Technology opened April 2022 and provides many opportunities for Durham College students and faculty.
Basically, it houses elevating devices, plumbing, and it allowed us to expand our capacity to train students in the skilled trades by 750.
Flynn and her team will start planning for the funded money April 1st. The first plan is to create varsity scholarships.
Whenever a varsity athlete comes to the college, there's an opportunity to qualify for a scholarship, and we have fewer funds to offer athletes than some of our competing colleges, so we're working on building that fund. That's our first priority.
Whitby campus is home to about 3,400 post-secondary and apprenticeship students. Students are excited about the new opportunities the building brings.
It's really exciting to see Durham expand like this, and it really showcases how much the school is growing.
Colleges Ontario predicts by 2030, Ontario will face a shortage of about 500,000 skilled trade workers. The Building for Skills campaign was funded by many organizations, including Ontario Power Generation, the Region of Durham, the Town of Whitby, and other community members, corporations, and foundations. In Whitby, reporting for The Chronicle, I'm Wesley Braid.
Speed cameras are becoming common in Durham Region. They are mainly located close to schools and school zones. As Philippe Salamau reports, speed cameras are intended to slow down vehicles, speed, and reduce accidents in strategic areas.
Ian Philip was driving home after working quickly. He received a speeding ticket last year at Bailey Street near Ajax High School.
I didn't realize I was going, you know, because that's the route I usually take every night to go home. But what I was really baffled by, there is no school open at 11 o'clock at night.
Philip was driving 70 kilometers per hour in a 60 zone, and the ticket was $110.
You know, the government is, everything is to just make money. So it's to make money.
The first speed cameras, also known as photo radars, were installed in areas classified as community safe zones.
So there have been those incidents that happen. Again, it's one of those things that it's unfortunate because, you know, these are road safety tools that are helping to protect our communities.
According to Wilkinson, photo radars are not cash grab.
There is 90 days before that speed camera goes into that community safety zone. There is a sign that goes up that says automated speed enforcement coming soon. So 90 days in advance, people are notified that a speed camera is going in there. And there also is a great big sign on the side of the road that says once this camera is there, after those 90 days, that says automated speed enforcement.
Last year, 5,128 of photos radar tickets were issued in Ajax. The operational cost of the cameras Ajax is about $3,000, according to officials. And if someone vandalized the cameras, taxpayers do not have to pay the cost.
So this is managed from our vendor. They're frequently going on a regular basis, visiting our sites where the cameras are set up and verifying to ensure that they are physically in great shape.
Why don't aviation officials are hesitant to say how much money is collected from their photo radar tickets? Wilkson says some used to compensate accident victims. The rest goes to defending renovations to pay for the program cost. In OSHA, report for The Chronicle, my name is Philip Salomon.
All year, students have been upset about the cost of parking passes, which can range from $230 to $830 per semester. The option of daily payment is even more expensive, but as Ariel Martinez reports, nothing will change for students next fall.
Students who cannot currently get a parking pass due to lack of availability have to pay up to $18 for one day. Sarah Marshall says this is outrageous and cannot believe the costs are that high.
I suppose it's cheaper to purchase a parking pass, but still the fees are beyond what students, I think, should have to pay.
The parking lot is managed by Precise Parking Link, a private company. However, it's overseen by a shared department between Durham College and Ontario Tech University.
So the revenues that are generated through the parking operations are used to pay for the contracted providers, so Precise Park Link, the guards, the parking attendants. It also is used for snow removal in the winter, so maintenance of the actual parking lots themselves.
McShane says the cost of parking here is low compared to other campuses in the GTA.
Benchmarking. So we do a comparative analysis of what other colleges and universities that are in close proximity to us are charging. And we are actually quite low compared to some of the other campuses, predominantly in the GTA. If you went to Centennial or a Humber or a York University or any of those, the parking rates are quite a bit higher. Some of them can go as high as $1,200 a year.
But we're not downtown. There's plenty of parking up in this area.
This is not downtown Toronto, you know.
On the other hand, Avinav Youssef, student at Ontario Tech, believes the fees are too high for how many spaces they are.
No, I think that's extremely expensive.
Why?
Because the parking amount is very limited, and I think 200 is only for one semester, you know. Like, the year pass is like 400-ish.
McShane says the college is looking for solutions for students at the Oshawa campus, but does not believe the cost will go down anytime soon. Reporting for The Chronicle, this is Uriel Martinez.
A task force approved by a regional council 2 years ago has been given new life with the appointment of new members this February. The Durham Region Anti-Racism Task Force is a council-mandated team looking to eliminate oppression, mistreatment, and racism locally, while continuing to uplift and celebrate diversity within the community. Luke Mandato takes a closer look at what to expect from this group.
So we want community members to really say to us, this is what our experience, you know, has been. And then we want to hear from them, how best do we approach it? So how best do we leverage, you know, the resources at the region and the region itself to raise awareness?
We just need to have one united voice that, hey, this is where we can come to. We're allowed to start speaking and we're allowed to start saying, hey, this is not okay.
Last year, the provincial government announced plans to open portions of the Greenbelt to build 1.5 million homes over the next 10 years. The Ontario Greenbelt is the world's largest permanently protected land base. More than 80% of Durham Region is located within the Greenbelt. A portion of Durham was selected to be included, but Oshawa City Council has made it clear that its portion is not to be touched. Jacob Palace explains what's at stake.
to recognize ways and mechanisms to protect that farmland and its food growing capability to support the growing populations. Impact Assessment Act for environmental assessments to be exercised in certain cases.
About 3.7 million Canadians purchased, fostered, or adopted a pet during the first year of the global pandemic, according to a survey conducted by Purina Beyond in June of 2021. But as people return to work, many of these pets are being surrendered to shelters. Katie Sampson has the story.
Ashley James was one of many who adopted a puppy during the pandemic in June of last year. Although her family chose to do it, they were prepared for the commitment. They were still able to socialize their dog, and her family continues to work from home to this day.
It'd be different if it was, I think, if it was in like the thick of the pandemic.
But many families don't have the same experience. In 2022 alone, there was a 63% increase in the number of pets landing in shelters compared to the same period in 2021, according to Toronto Animal Services.
As a result of that, we're seeing shelters and rescue groups in many parts of the country are full. They're way past capacity, and in part because of this increase in discarded animals.
She says the reasons for giving up a pet may vary.
For some, it's a lifestyle change. You know, perhaps they brought a dog into the family when they were home all the time, and now they're not home as much. Maybe they're traveling.
As tough as it may be, James argues it's more important to surrender a pet than to struggle to take care of one.
I think it's extremely important because if you can't take care of a pet, that's not fair to the pet at all. I do wish there was more people who would adopt from humane societies and pounds or, you know what I mean? A lot of people just want that new puppy. There should be more awareness on it and how important it is to adopt from shelters and stuff, just to give those dogs a better chance at life.
And Mitchell agrees.
I think some people jumped into purchasing or adopting a companion animal too quickly. I don't think they did their research. But no doubt there are situations where people have tried their best and genuinely need to surrender their animal. And that is an important thing to do if you need to do it. You know, keeping an animal in your care that you cannot actually provide for, if you cannot provide food, if you cannot provide necessary medical attention, you can contribute to that animal's suffering.
In Whitby, reporting for The Chronicle, I'm Katie Sampson.
That's all for news. Up next, Ryan Vieira with sports.
Welcome to sports. I'm Ryan Vieira. Durham Region's junior hockey team is in a fight for its lives. The Oshawa Generals are the only team in the Ontario Hockey League not to have clinched a playoff spot yet, but they're in a good spot to do so. The Generals currently sit 1 point ahead of the Kingston Frontenacs for the final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference, heading into the final games of the regular season this weekend. I stopped by the arena to ask fans what will happen this weekend, what they think will happen this weekend, and what they can expect for next season.
Into the playoffs, I think they can make a strong run. Depends on who's playing.
As the school year comes to a close, most sports teams have already wrapped up their seasons. The Ontario Tech University Cricket and Equestrian Club are both coming to an end, with their seasons ending in April. This past weekend, Ontario Tech hosted the Canadian University College Championship, a badminton tournament where many Canadian universities competed. York University won the majority of games, including victories against Waterloo, Sherbrooke, Laval, Carleton, and Montreal. The Ontario Tech dance team has one last showcase coming up in the Regent Theatre in Oshawa. The showcase is on Tuesday, April 4th. And finally, the esports team has many games coming up. Ontario Tech's Rocket League teams compete on March 24th and again the following Friday. University's Valorant teams compete on March 27th and on April 3rd. Ontario Tech also held their 16th annual Athletic Awards Gala at the Regan Theatre last night. Nicole Iskane of the women's hockey team, and Christopher Campoli of the men's soccer team were named Athletes of the Year. Durham College recently celebrated the accomplishments of 53 of its varsity athletes who won academic awards. The awards recognized student athletes who demonstrated excellence in academics, leadership, and community service. The winners were selected based on their outstanding academic performance and contribution to their respective fields. Some of the notable winners included volleyball player and golfer Devin Frazier and baseball player Ryan Mattis, who had the top overall GPAs. The top team GPA went to the women's volleyball team. Mia Hildebrand, Katie Stewart, and Jessica Johnson all earned academic All-Canadian awards. Laughter and basketball will go hand in hand on April. I'll go hand in hand on April 3rd when the Harlem Globetrotters come to Oshawa. The Globetrotters' 2023 World Tour visits the Tribute Community Center, where they will take on the Washington Generals in head-to-head action. Fans can expect to see outstanding basketball skills and athleticism combined with fun and laughter for everyone. Tickets start at $28.50 and are available right now. That's all for sports. Up next, Sylvia Abassi with arts.
Welcome to Arts and Culture. I'm Sophia Abbasi. Durham College recently held its first Holi event since COVID-19. Holi, also known as the Festival of Colors, is an annual Hindu celebration that takes place during the arrival of spring. I was there to get the story.
Colors were flying in the air at the Holi event hosted by International Student Association and the DCSA. Many international students from India recently joined Durham College. The students say the event made them feel more at home.
A lovely thing. All the things that are lovely about this festival. The Festival of Colors.
We're sorry for that. So up next, the annual Purple Woods Maple Syrup Festival is back for the first time since the start of the pandemic 3 years ago. People came from all over Ontario, came for sweet maple treats and outdoor educational fun. Madison Dugin spent the afternoon exploring the festival and brings us the story.
Despite the weather, the second Saturday of the Maple Syrup Festival was swarming with people. The festival hall was filled with sweet-smelling maple syrup and families enjoying the day. Volunteers from the Toronto Wildlife Center were busy tending to the festival goers.
It's really busy right now. It's kind of crazy trying to get to all these tables, especially with that long line, but it's still fun.
The festival has new volunteers every day, and a portion of the proceeds go to that organization. Brittany Monroe and her family came all the way from Belleville for the festival. Usually they go to the festival at home, but they decided to look for something new this winter.
I was going to say, we're excited to go for the tour and kind of walk through the woods and see what's going on down there and learn about maple syrup.
Yeah.
Luckily, the festival has an expert. Down in the sugar bush is Kara Gregory, a conservation educator with special knowledge of maple syrup.
This is what we use to grade the sugar and say what color it is. And so this is golden, amber, and dark.
The festival runs until April 2nd. More than 5,000 people have already dropped by. Don't miss out on your chance for pancakes and outdoor family fun. In Oshawa, reporting for The Chronicle, I'm Madison Duchin.
We have another sweet treat for you as we wrap up. Our own Uriel Martinez is giving an exclusive look at his new music video. Uriel is a journalism student and an inspiring musician from Uruguay. Here's his new song, Pero No, right here on Riot Radio.
Te pierdo.
Pero no, me cansé de
colleague Katie Sampson recently traveled to Guatemala with a faculty-led classroom abroad program here at Durham College. Katie is also one of my fellow hosts at Founders Drive, a podcast we created this year aimed at inspiring young people to consider entrepreneurship despite any barriers they may face. Katie's two worlds came together when she was in Guatemala. While she was there, she was able to hand-deliver laptops to three young Mayan women the Founders Drive team has been working closely with to help launch their business. The Mayan women are trying to start a French fry stand to pay for university. They would be the first women in their village to do so. Katie is here to tell us about it today. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
So what was your time like in Guatemala?
It was incredible. We went and we spent 4 days in a little indigenous community called Las Arrugas, which was about a 5-6 hour bus trip away from Guatemalan City. And while we were there, we got to volunteer in a local high school. We taught them how to write stories and create media pieces to help spread awareness about some of the pressing issues that they face in their community. And while we were there, we got immersed into their culture and they really took us in as part of their family. So it was really awesome.
I love that. Tell us about these Mayan women and how Founders Drive has been helping them.
Yeah, so Glenda, Gladys, and Haiti, we met them through previous faculty-led programs. And we met them because through these programs, we found out that they wanted to start their own business and pay for education. And we decided to use some of the grant money that we used or that we received from Founders Drive and use them to buy laptops. So when I got to go to Guatemala, I brought the laptops, hand-delivered them, and it was really a special moment.
What impact did this have on the women?
Well, in their community, it's really common for women to only make it to about the sixth grade and then drop out. At that point, they take on really traditional roles of the housewife and a mother. So for these three women, they really wanted to pave a way for future girls in the community that wanted to continue their education. So when we found out that they wanted to start their business, we used the grant money for laptops, and these laptops not only will help them kickstart their education, but also help with their business to help pay for it. And to them, it's just a laptop, for us, it's just a laptop, but to them, it's really like a stepping stone to pave a way for all these other women in the community that are looking to do the same.
Right. How did this trip impact you?
In so many ways. As cheesy as it sounds, it really like was life-changing. So not only did I have the opportunity to recognize my own privilege, the money I come from, the country I live in, my living conditions, but I also got to I get emotional talking about it. I got to be immersed into this culture that otherwise I would have never had the opportunity to, and I got to be more than just a tourist. So overall, it really was life-changing.
That's amazing. Thank you, Katie. If you would like to help us support Glenda, Gladys, and Haiti, please join us for our We Love Entrepreneurs event next Wednesday in the Pit, starting at noon. 10 local makers will be selling their handmade items. Then from 5 to 7 p.m., we'll host a panel about why entrepreneurship is good for young people. You can also donate to our GoFundMe for our Guatemalan friends. Isn't She Lovely? The music of Stevie Wonder is coming to Oshawa on April 1st. The Regent Theater is hosting the event with songs by Tony Noasco as a band and a band consisting of some of Canada's finest musicians and singers. Here's Stevie Wonder's song, I Wish.
But boy, I thought I told you not to go away.
Many people are shocked when learning human trafficking in Durham region is not as uncommon as they might think. Today, Sophia Abbasi is here to talk about the prevalence of human trafficking in our region and what people can do to stay safe. Hi, Sophia. Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, Grace. It's so important for our community members to be aware of what's happening around us.
Definitely. So, Sophia, for the viewers who aren't aware of what human trafficking is, could you briefly explain?
Of course. In simple words, human trafficking is human trade. It is the recruitment or exploitation of someone. So there are different types of human trafficking, such as labor trafficking and sex trafficking.
What is the most common one in Durham region?
So the most common one in Durham region is actually sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is using someone and exploiting them sexually. It's a form of modern slavery where victims are forced into sexual acts non-consensually. I know, I had the same reaction while finding this out. In 2021 alone, Durham Regional Crime Stoppers investigated 336 cases. Almost half of those cases, 118, were involving victims under the age of 18.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that. That's a lot.
I know, and I wanted to know why it's so prevalent in Durham Region. So after some research, I came to learn from the Criminal Law of Oshawa website that because of the direct connection to Highway 401, Durham Region is considered a common ground for traffickers.
So the route allows victims to be easily moved from one city to another?
Exactly. So for more information, I talked to Trafficking Prevention Facilitator at Victim Services, Kate Moore. She says traffickers use the vulnerability of victims to manipulate them into labor or sex trafficking and possibly organ harvesting. She says a trafficker can easily be anybody. Oftentimes, it can be the victim's close family member or someone that they're in a relationship with.
I see. Could you tell us more about how people are being trafficked?
Of course. So people can be trafficked by anyone. 80% of traffickers are romantic partners of the victim, leaving 10% to be family or friends. Social media is also a big outlet for traffickers to lure their victims.
So what are the signs that might indicate that someone is being trafficked?
It could be anything from strict financial control or someone having an abusive partner or someone having access cash because they're not using debit or credit cards. There are various different restrictions as well on the victims. When it comes to sexual exploitation, there are four stages, which are luring, grooming, manipulation, and exploitation. For example, showing the victims a lot of love and spoiling them, then manipulating and gaslighting them, verbally abusing, and so forth.
What are the more common ages of the victims?
So the Durham Region Human Trafficking Coalition reports the average age of recruitment is 13. 3/4 of the victims are under the age of 25. Many of the victims are vulnerable young women who struggle with low self-esteem, trauma, and not feeling loved.
Wow. And how do we help people stay safe?
Well, to start off, know the signs. Visit human trafficking seminars. Parents should remind their kids that they're loved, spread awareness, and educate yourself. And if you know anyone being trafficked, contact the Durham Region Human Trafficking Department or reach out to Victim Services for their resources and support. So while interviewing Moore, she said one thing that I feel is very important to share. Empowered youth cannot be trafficked.
Where can listeners learn more?
If you visit our Chronicle website, chronicle.durhamcollege.ca, you can check out my article on human trafficking.
Thank you, Sophia, for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.
Here's Dietrich Clark with the forecast for the next few weeks.
Weather today is cool, with a high of 6 and a low of 2. Temperatures are getting warmer as spring approaches. This is a time of year you can expect a mix of everything. So within the coming weeks, expect a little bit of rain and a little bit of snow. Above all else, temperatures will keep rising as spring approaches in the coming weeks.
As we mentioned, this is our final show of the year, and the final show for us because most of us are going on placement. So Tammy, where are you going?
I'm going to the Globe and Mail. I'll be working on the national news desk.
Oh my goodness, congratulations! That's so amazing to see a journalism student get such a big opportunity.
It was an intense interview process and even more intimidating training process, but I'm so excited to get started. How about you, Grace?
Well, I'm not going on placement. I've decided to take at least a year off just to gather my bearings. So it's going to have to be future Grace's problem.
That's totally fair. School is hard on all of us, but we've shared great laughs together.
Absolutely we have. I'll cherish them forever. You guys are like family to me. On that note, thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow us on Instagram at DCUOIT Chronicle to get all the latest updates on campus and local news. You can also check out our website for the full articles at chronicle.durhamcollege.ca.
We want to thank you for listening throughout the year on Riot Radio. whether you've been watching since the beginning or just starting tuning in. Closing us out for the final time is our goodbye video made by our resident editor extraordinaire, Hafed Almadani.
It is with mixed emotions that we come here today to say goodbye to each other and the program that has been our home for the past 2 years. Throughout the program, we've learned so much about the world of journalism.
We sure have. We've had the opportunity to grow our skills as journalists in creative thinking, our writing, our podcasting, and we asked our classmates, what was your most significant achievement this year?
Definitely having so many people in the program with my music in the playlist, specifically Danielle, showed out for a fantastic new playlist.
Getting out there and contacting sources directly face-to-face and just getting to know people's stories.
Being able to talk to the Oshawa Generals general manager and their coach.
Our Raising Resilient Families project, because Luke and I went, we ventured into this condo in Ajax and we made a very beautiful piece.
During the summer between year one and year two, I actually got an actual job.
Adding to my portfolio and accumulating all these big name interviews that I wouldn't necessarily expect myself to gather.
Covering the Athletic Awards last year, allowed me to get in touch with the top players.
I think my most significant achievement during this program was really getting out of my shell.
Definitely getting my internship with CBC. Especially coming into this program as somebody who's 30 years old, or was 28 when I started it.
My internship at the Globe and Mail, just knowing that I'm going somewhere that's so respected.
Interviewing Trace Anderson, who won Top Chef Canada this year.
My opinion piece on LeBron James and why he is the GOAT of basketball. Teresa helped me a lot on this, and it helped me get a lot of job opportunities.
My most significant achievement was getting out of my comfort zone.
Was probably getting a higher mark than Luke on our features for the first semester. He said he would get a higher mark than me, but he didn't, so I have to hold that L.
I would say it was the mock disaster. It really taught me how to put myself out there, and when you're under a lot of pressure and there's a very serious situation going on and you're reporting on the field, there are certain steps that you would take.
Interviewing the Afghan journalist for the NextEd for Social Justice Week. It was an eye-opening experience for me and I enjoyed it.
But this program has been more than just an academic experience. It's been a community of like-minded individuals who have been supportive of each other through ups and downs over the past 2 years in the program, but more specifically the past year in the Chronicle newsroom.
We've shared lots of laughs, had fun times, there's been tears, but most importantly, we worked together to achieve our goals. As we say goodbye, we reflect on the memories we've created together and friendships as a cohort. We asked the students, what was your most memorable moment during this program?
Because I always thought I was from Norway, like, and I was Uruguayan, right? But then I came across that I'm Uruguayan.
On the Uruguay way.
Shout out Katie for that. Cheers.
Just coming to class every day and seeing, you know, all my peers getting excited about the work we were doing. It was great to see.
When we watched Canada in the World Cup against Morocco in class, and Hafed's ego was just boosted because he was right that Canada was going to lose. They scored, though, but it was memorable, but it was sad.
Creating our podcast in our third semester, because it took a very long time to get in contact with people, but it really paid off when we finally did.
Coming into class every single day to a positive environment, and I feel like I've met my lifelong friends while being here in college, and I'm very grateful for that.
I vividly remember the very first time we all went out and got a drink together. It was last year after our very first broadcast, and we all went to St. Louis down the street.
Meeting everybody in this class, you know, everybody here, we all have such a great connection. You could even call it maybe a small little family we have here, all the memories we made, all the times we had together.
The friends I made, which is very cliche, but it is true. And yeah, I'll probably have some of them for the rest of my life, maybe.
Is when Danielle stuck the only Indigenous student in her class in the red group. And I'm gonna take that with me to the grave.
Definitely just finding something that I love and knowing that I can be good at it and finding a group of people that are the same.
It would just be all the times I got to go out with all my classmates and get to know them on a personal level.
Going out for drinks with Luke, Tammy, and Jacob, and Danielle, you should have came when we told you to.
Hanging out with everybody in the classroom.
When Nav for a solid 2 months was taking his B-reels and whipping out his feet in class, whenever the notification went off, and he would just pluck his feet
on the table and snap away pictures, so I can never forget that. Can never erase that from my memory.
Honestly, I can't choose just one day or like time, because every day there's like some fun conversation going on, or like, you know, Luke and Katie say something funny and everyone's just laughing.
Coming to class every day and sitting with Luke and Katie and hearing their conversations.
As we come to the end, we want to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you for your unwavering commitment and dedication.
Together, we've overcome challenges, shared experiences, and grown both professionally and personally.
As we move forward, let us carry out the knowledge and skills that we have acquired and continue to use them to have a positive impact on the world of journalism.
We wish you all the very best in your future endeavors, and we look forward to seeing all the great things you do in your future years to come.
You're biting my finger.
I would say my most memorable moment would be filming Nav's stand-up, where he took 85 takes to complete it in the winter.
Durham College has its... Stop laughing, okay? Durham College has its own esports arena just a few steps... What are you laughing at? Durham College has its own... No, I should start like this. Okay. Durham College has its own esports arena just a few steps away. Oh, man.
Across the table from each other at the Riot radio station.
Yep. Girls are gossiping.
Our podcast is definitely my most memorable moment.
Yeah, being married to you.
I love it.
Learning that Tammy drinks Canadian with Clamato juice, that I'm also going to take to the grave.
Beer pong at my house for the first time.
I can't do beer pong.
Pickleback shots.
When you dressed up as me for Halloween.
Yes, there it is. When I dressed up as you for Halloween, that's probably my favorite moment.
I would say St. Patrick's Day when we had a few drinks before class.
Oh, yeah, the brew house. That was good. That was fun.
We interviewed the waitress for journalistic purposes, and I think that was really
that
fun.
That's why we went to the bar at 11 a.m. on St. Patty's last year.
Sorry, Teresa.
It was Joanne.
Sorry, Joanne.
If I ever become big like Bad Bunny and this goes viral, I'm gonna shoot myself.
Why? So you Bad Bunny's kissed a guy on stage? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but you're sucking my lollipop. It's different.
Wait, you actually want me to lick this?
Well, you wanna make out? What the do you wanna do, man? We gotta do something like actually newsworthy.
Why is licking the lollipop newsworthy?
Okay, there was one time that we ordered a pizza and like I just like licked the pizza and then left it back in the box, and he then went back and just ate it.
What?
Yeah.
Me or Hafed?
You. Yeah.
That's probably why it was so good.
The days where I think Afaf wouldn't show up, and then she's just sitting in the chair waiting for me, and I'm coming in the door and she's just smiling. Like, she's just watching me from the outside coming in, and she's just smiling.
I think, like, the bond that we, like, made this semester was really, like, this year was really nice, because, like, we didn't know each other before, and then it was just, like, nice to kind of work on things together, and then, like, build a friendship.
I approached her in a very interesting way. I think she might have got startled or something. Did you?
I approached you.
Seriously, you don't? That hurts my feelings.
I asked you if you were Pakistani.
You asked me if I was Afghan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Turn the page, take a pen and sign your name. Oh, under your picture, write a wish that will always stay like this. Yeah, friends forever, this is not.